There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are. It's a Tuesday night, and it happens to be the 12th of February, 2013. This is the Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. Now, over the last 3 to 5 radio shows, and they're on the archives and you can listen to them, that we're trying to become more absolute. And the more absolute you become with Christianity, the more you strive to enjoy grace in your life, the more that you choose to enjoy being a Christian, the more you don't care. And what I mean about don't caring is if it hurts someone's feelings, if it sounds insulting, if it sounds short, if it sounds uncaring, unfeeling, there's no empathy or no sympathy, then really you're really starting to get on the track of grace. Now, it sounds harsh, and it should, because tonight's show, we're going to concentrate on a hurdle, on a locked door, on a piece of road that is covered in ice and you're losing traction. Whatever cute little euphemism you want to use, but what it boils down to is you're just not enjoying grace the way you're supposed to enjoy it, because you have it. You don't have to purchase it. You don't have to change your clothes or cut your hair. You don't even have to brush your teeth. You were born with it. Jesus' blood paid for it. And if you agree with that, then here's the question. Why aren't you using it? Why aren't you experiencing it? Where is it? Where is grace? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's Jesus? Where's God? Where is Christ in your life? Because you're not enjoying what you should. That's your fault. That's the absoluteness and harshness of Christianity. Because you can be saved, you can be baptized, you can worship every single hour of every day and not be connected, because it's this disconnection that is the problem. And there is scripture that talks about being disconnected. And Jim, you've got it right in front of you, don't you?
I do. This is one of the most talked about subjects as I'm preaching around the country. And this comes up all the time, people asking about being connected. And they do realize, and they don't argue at all when we say things like, you know, you can be saved or born again, but your real Christianity starts when you start doing something with your salvation. You start to progress. You start to move forward. And you really need a very live connection. And this is one of the reasons why, as we've talked over the year, over the last year and a half, I think it becomes very apparent that it's so necessary that people have God and their relationship with God first and foremost, not doing all the Christian duties that we can do before we actually have the relationship. So this is going to be a great subject tonight, and I'll just read you a couple little thoughts here, and we've got a lot more of them, but at least this will start. Over in John chapter 15 and verse 1, this is the Message Bible, so it reads a little bit different than the King James, but the central thought is the same. It says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. So notice that the message that Jesus speaks is what will help to prune you back. In other words, it's what helps to give you a reality check so that you're doing something with the grace of God or with the life of Christ or with your relationship with God. The message helps to prune you or to keep you on track. Okay, let me just give you this last verse, and we have more in this passage that we want to say, but this will really help us to start. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. Now, BJ, that's just a start, but it's a good start to what we're talking about. It helps people, I think, to begin to get a good idea that we really need to participate with what Jesus has done in us, or we're not bearing fruit.
No, and we've talked about this so many times in so many different ways, but every time we bring this subject up, we get more finite, we get more narrow, and we become, for lack of a better word, intolerant of near misses. I mean, you know, they say, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Right.
And that really applies to this. A little housekeeping, text messages. We've already had one. It says, why not record your before the show conversations? Well, there's a reason for that. Really there isn't a reason. It would just, you know.
No, I mean, we made a comment tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, we made
this a comment. This could be really good on the radio.
We do that every time you come to the ranch. We say, this is great radio. Okay, text messaging. We have instant text messaging here in the barn, as you well know.
You know, that's a good question.
It is a good question, and I'm not really sure how to answer it, except for we just don't. I mean, I don't know. We've even discussed sitting in two chairs with two microphones.
Mm-hmm.
In a large room where people could just come and sit and listen to you and I talk and ask us questions.
Yeah, we've talked about someday that could be a great Wednesday night service where most people go, that to have the format that you just described,
yeah,
would be extremely interesting.
You know, they asked me that one time at a local building where I met you, you know, mm-hmm. the structure of the building where I met you, and they says, well, what would be the dress code? And I said, well, clothes are optional. And they go, what? And I says, well, what do I care what somebody wears? And they said, and they go, oh, well, we thought you meant, you know, like no clothes at all. And I said, well, that's not very nice to be thinking about that here. And, you know, they knew I was
right.
just twisting their
right.
words.
Right.
You know, and they said, are you making fun of me? And I go, well, let's see, I have a choice. I could make fun of myself, or I could make fun of you. Wow, there's a no-brainer. Okay, housekeeping, folks. Instant text messaging. We love them. The world's record is 15 in one show on Jim's show. The way it works is the first word, the key word of your instant text message is J-I-M-B-J, no space, Jim B-J. So, for instance, This text message that we got said, Jim BJ, why not record before the show conversations? We have emails. All one word, no spaces, no capitals, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. And Jim, we got a few emails to read. So we've got instant text messaging, and we've got emails. And so take advantage of those. But let's talk about the scripture that you just read. And that was the one about, was that the one with the driftwood in it? Or
on down further, it does.
Okay, what I want you to do is...
It says here deadwood.
Are you eating Butter Crunch?
No, I didn't, but you need to say something about how amazing that is.
Okay, you know what? I've really got to qualify this for a second. We've got to, I don't even know how to explain this because people are going to think it's me. But I've been doing more diligence going to the P.O. Box. This is from a lady named Diana in Washington, New Jersey. And this box is like a Christmas package.
Right.
And it's actually dated. I mean, the stamp on it from the post office says $9.36. And this was mailed on December 3rd of 2012. And I asked my post office about this. And they said, well, it just showed up a couple days ago. And it's got UPS stickers. And it's got, I mean, I don't know where this thing has been.
Yeah.
It was somewhere on December 10th because that's written on the side of the box.
It got lost in the Christmas traffic.
Yeah, see, you're being too nice. Me, I think someone screwed up. But anyways, here's what the deal is. There was two, one was red, one was green, little bags of homemade Butter Crunch. And the only problem is that this lady didn't send us enough.
Is that the best you've ever had? It is to me.
Well, you know, I've had stuff like this before, but I didn't know it was called Butter Crunch. But we finally got it. And also, I got to thank them because I can't believe it. Folks, listen to this. This is an envelope. And this this was mailed on the 5th of February. So it shows I've been, you know, on top of things. This is from that really nice couple. They sent another $100 check for the instant text messaging. Their name is Ken and Lori. All right? And they live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And for the next 4 weeks, their $100 is paying for the instant text messaging here in the barn. They did it once, and I'm shocked they did it again. And I wanted to say thanks to them.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's
so once again,
very kind.
Instant text messaging, thank Ken and Lori,
yes.
Not me, because
yes.
They ponied up the money. Instant text messaging, Jim BJ, we like them. We like emails. Okay, what I want you to do is here lies a problem, and this is something that we did talk about extensively before the show tonight here in the barn, and that was this, and this is what I said. People don't get it. They say, yes, I've accepted God as my Savior. They say, I'm saved. I'm born again. They get baptized. They go somewhere and drink that nasty little warm grape juice and those flavorless, I mean, you know, even just a daub of peanut butter on those little...
Wafers?
Yeah. Is that what they are, wafers?
Yes.
On those common...
Unleavened bread.
What is it, common? No, communion.
Communion.
Just a little daub of peanut butter, jelly, honey, you know, something. And it would go so help so much.
It would make it messy, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would at least taste like something. But you stop. It's like that is it. If you're saved and you're born again and you're baptized and you go somewhere and you're worshiping and that's what it's all about. That's the problem. And it's been a problem for 2,000 years. And it's that what you have to understand is being those things is great, and experiencing those things is necessary. But what do you do after that?
Right.
It's
right.
Like they're just stuck on go.
Well,
they don't take any more steps.
Yeah, but that, in my opinion, from what we've shared here and then what we've also you can also see truly happening. That goes back to the group. The whole group concept is what helps people to feel okay about not really going anywhere. And that just seems to be a part of a lot of what we've accepted as doctrine or religious ways of doing things. It becomes a part of the group. And as you can see in the scripture that I just got through reading, notice the emphasis that Jesus is putting on having fruit, having testimonies. So the lack of testimonies is obviously something that wouldn't please God. In fact, there in the 8th verse, it says, "My Father is pleased by much fruit." So he would be then not pleased by no fruit.
Well, you have scripture that talks about people not going anywhere, not being productive as Christians.
Right.
And basically, they're just spinning their wheels, wasting time.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a Christian, I've been saved, and God is good, God is great, and that it just comes to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they have to say. They can't say anything more. And there's scripture that talks about this. And then we're going to talk about what that scripture means.
Okay.
So where is this? Where? What book are you in?
I'm in John.
No, I mean like what?
Chapter 15.
No, the book. Is this like...
Oh, well, this is the Message Bible.
Okay, that's a... Well, yeah, what do you call... Okay.
What see, version?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's what I'll say. What version?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what version is it?
The Message Bible.
Okay.
And starts in John... Well, I've already read 1 through 4. And then verse 5 is where it starts to get interesting. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me, and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. If you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as disciples."
Okay, let's break this down. Okay, just read one sentence and then stop. Read the first sentence of what you just read.
"I am the vine and you are the branches."
Okay, so that means that the root of who we are, he's our Father, we're his children.
Right.
That's what that means. Okay, what's the next sentence?
"When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant."
Okay, so what he's saying is that you're born of me, you're made in my image, and when your spirit connects with my spirit, when you're truly a Christian,
mm-hmm.
there is things to do and things to enjoy.
Yeah, other translations would say, when you're continually joined with me, or when you abide in me, which means
living
to
in
have
the spirit.
A continual connection. That's
right.
What it literally means.
And what's the next sentence?
Then it says, "Separated, you can't produce a thing."
Okay. Now, when he talks about separated, this is what we're talking about. He just got done saying that you're my children and that you need to stay as a spirit being, not a human being, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and great things will happen. Because if you turn towards the world or your flesh, then you close the door. You consciously choose to separate yourself from me. That's what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's the next sentence?
"Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire."
Okay, now what is wood? Wood is of the world. It's temporary. It's not permanent. Adrift. What does that mean? That you're out of control. That you're basically just adrift. Driftwood is basically pushed by the currents of the water and by the winds of the sea. It has no destination, no goals, no itinerary, and it has no control. Outside forces control driftwood. And then he talks about that if you're out of control, you have no connection, you're disconnected from me, then you get thrown on a fire and you're burned. Well, that sounds like hell to me.
Yeah, it's certainly not...
So think about what...
Yeah, you're certainly not walking with God.
Think about the absoluteness of this. We've talked about this for a year and a half. We use terms like clicks. You're a couple clicks off of due north. We talk about distractions. But listen to this, because one of the sentences that he's going to read is it says that when you're connected with me, all the things are possible. That is another way of saying, ask and you shall receive. All prayers are granted. Now, this is the problem. If you hurt, if your prayers aren't being answered, here it is for you, spelled out by Christ himself. You're born of me. You're part of me. You're like me. You're supposed to be with me, connected with me all the time. Grace will take care of you. That's the way you enjoy grace. If you choose the world, if you choose to disconnect from me, which you can, then how can your prayers be answered? How can you enjoy grace? This is what he just said.
Yeah, it certainly seems to indicate, when you look at a verse like this, the pressure actually gets put on you to say to yourself, if I'm not producing anything, am I really connected with God? Do I really have a relationship with God? And then if someone says, well, I believe I do, then you have to ask yourself the question, well, why am I not producing anything? Am I closing the door? Am I walking away from God? Now, these are the kind of questions that get you answers. Answers that look like testimonies, answered prayer, things where you're moving forward with God. But to not ask yourself these questions and to spin in circles is a part of a group. And that's what happens in a group that's very dangerous, is the group only goes so far. And when individuals want to go farther, the group doesn't like that. So this is really an interesting passage here that gives everyone and should make everyone think, am I progressing in my relationship with God? Because if I'm not, I don't want to be included in the statement, anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. And he goes on to say, but if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you. Now, of course, in the King James, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And we're going to want to talk about that a little bit, maybe now or maybe later, BJ. But abiding in him means to stay continually connected with him. And then it goes on to say, and his words are connected with you. And it doesn't mean that you're prolific at quoting scripture. It means that you understand the intent, the feeling, the heart of God, and you're excited about doing something with it. And this is part of what we're... I just got a big old fly and had to kill him. So excuse me if I lost my train of thought there, but...
Yeah, I should have ignored it. See, that was a distraction. That was a perfect chance for you to let grace handle the insect and just do your job. And did you throw that on the floor?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, putting it in a garbage can?
Well, for now, at least it's there, okay?
See, what you just did is what people do. That's how that's how easy it is to get distracted from being a Christian. You let some little fly that's harmless, that's in a closed room that sooner or later is going to die, and you lost your train of thought, and you made all kinds of sounds, and you beat the snot out of your computer. These are the little things. This is great. You're a perfect example of what people don't take into consideration.
I'm glad that I was able to
actually noticed that those flies haven't even been around me or bothered me since we've been in the room?
Well, it's not really bothering me either. It's landed on my computer, so I wanted to get them off.
So, in other words, that brand of computer is worthless when it comes to a fly sitting on it.
I guess.
Wow.
That's what it's saying.
See, folks, this is what I put up with in here. This is the kind of stuff. I try to stay on point. I try to just give you and this is what I deal with. It's just sad state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, next time I'll bring my own fly swatter. That'll help. No, it's over there.
Here. Now you got one.
Thank you.
You have a fly swatter.
Thank you.
I don't need it. You know why? I have grace.
Then why do you have it in the room?
For you. That was a good one. You know what? Sometimes I just...
You make yourself laugh, don't you?
No. That was Grace's answer.
She was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm living in the word, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
All right. Let's get back onto a thought here, because this is something we shared here this morning in Healing School, and it really, really went over very well. And I think everybody really got the point. And that is about the word connection. And I'm going to give an illustration here. Usually BJ comes up with some really great ones, so I don't know if this is going to be good enough, but I think it's great. You know, your cell phones, they all have different processors in them, just like your computers do. Some computers have more power. In fact, I remember, BJ, when you bought your laptop that you're working on right now, it's one of the top laptops, am I not correct, as far as power and speed and...
Power, speed, and strength to endure insects, yes. Okay.
And also, do you have a whole lot of memory on it and all, too? I think you do, right?
Yeah, this laptop has more memory and storage than most people's desktops do.
All right, well, very good. Well, the point being made is you can have the very top of the top desktop, laptop, the processors, amazing storage capacity, and yet at the same time, if BJ were trying to get a signal, or my phone, I'm trying to get a signal, here I've got a powerful processor, but I'm trying to get a signal, I need to have a connection. Let's say I have one bar, or maybe a half a bar, and it's flickering back and forth. Well, what's the possibility, and you even know when you make that phone call, a lot of times when you know your connection is not going to be good, you'll even say, now if I lose you, I'll try to call you back, but I'm going through the mountains or I'm way out in the country and I don't have a real good signal, but you got a great processor. The phone actually has plenty of power in it. How come it's not working? It has to do with your connection. And this is what we want. We want to build a connection with God where, let's say, 5 bars is the top. Well, we want to build a connection where you have 5 bars all the time and you never go down to 4. You never go down to 3, 2, or 1, and you never find yourself dropping a call. You're always, it's loud, it's crisp, it's very clear. You don't ever have to worry about it. In fact, it becomes so clear after a while that normal is just that you never have a disconnect. And this is where we're heading. And these scriptures here, I believe, really paint a very vivid and live picture to us to show us our Father is excited and He's very blessed and He's pleased when we produce fruit. How do you produce fruit? It's having 5 bars, or it's having a strong connection with God. And this is what I want to throw in here to get BJ to comment on this. This is the very first part and first step of your salvation experience. Sadly enough, we've actually, most of the people we're talking to, and myself, after 47 years of being saved, we are just starting to build a better connection, because this was never taught. This was left out, kind of the manual, so to speak, of the group or the building where we were going.
Right.
It wasn't emphasized. You can have an amazing connection. And remember what I said last week about one of my friends at the Wednesday night meeting. He ended with raising his hand, and he had a look on his face that says, I'm really struggling right now. I'm kind of disappointed, kind of mad. And he wasn't mad at me, but he was mad at what was being said, brought him back. And I just had another guy at Healing School that said the same thing. It brought him back to when he was saved. And he said, when I was saved, I had all kinds of words from the Lord, and God would speak to me, and at nighttime especially, God would speak, and I knew it was Him, and I had a lot of testimonies. And he said, but then I went to a gathering where everyone else was, and he said, literally, it's been 25
distractions,
years.
Distractions. Polluted.
Yes, 25 years, and I wonder right now whether or not I can even hear the voice of God.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to watch a television show, and somebody's having a telephone conversation, somebody's playing video games, somebody's cooking and pots and pans are clanging, and two people are having a conversation, and you just want everybody to shut up so you can watch television. And after a while, you're trying to watch television, and you really don't even know what's going on in the story anymore because you have too many outside influences.
Right.
That is exactly what happens to a quote-unquote Christian. Is that they get lost in the religious community. They get lost in celebrating.
That's a good way to say it.
They get lost in the celebration of being saved. They drown in a religious community of people saying God is good, God is great. But when you put a gun to their head, they don't have anything to show for it. Because you say, what? And you really, and they talk in circles. Because they literally, they'll say, what has God done for you? He saved me. He's my Savior. God is everything. He does everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' blood paid for everything. Okay, I understand that. But what has God done for you? What has grace done for you today?
Right, right.
God is good. God is great. He saved me. I'm saved. You know, he's my Savior. They literally just repeat what they have been told because they have no actual real testimonies.
Yes.
Because a real testimony isn't saying God is good and that you've been saved. A real testimony is a saying, I had a flat tire and I got out and I watched grace blow it up and fix it. Now there's a testimony. My knee was swollen and I said, are you kidding me? And the swelling was gone. There's a testimony.
Right. Right.
Now, by the way, Marina, her alarm clock went off on time. Pajama Girl in London, England,
yes, yes,
is listening to the show. We haven't got any more text messages or any more emails. Remember, instant text messaging is the first word is Jim BJ. No capitals, no space, just JIMBJ. And then you send that to 69302. Just a five-digit number, no area code, 69302. And also we have emails, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Here, this came in. It says, blessings, Jim and BJ. The practical way you deliver the message of grace really opens people's souls. The beauty of delivering it in this venue is a lot of people who listen may have never attended a church and won't have to stumble to flow in God's grace. I appreciate how you do it. Keep bringing it. And this is signed Joseph E. in North Carolina. Now, another email we have here is, and this kind of goes to what we're talking about. This email starts off with, hi, Jim and BJ. And then it says, I read your book, Qualified for a Miracle. Did you write a book called that?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Jim and BJ. I read your book, Qualified for a Miracle, several years ago. I have prayed for a lot of people and seen many miracles for them. See, what we talked about, right. Miracles.
Right.
Something unusual. Right. Something random, like a winning lottery ticket. My hair started falling out a few years ago, and I commanded it back in, expecting to see it grow back, but it didn't. Finally, I went to the doctor, and he did many tests, and then said he didn't know what the problem was, but it would probably fall out. Then, a year ago, I was diagnosed with glaucoma and cataracts, and the doctor said that I had significant optic nerve damage. I prayed for myself, expecting to see a quick resolution to this, but at this point, the doctor says my pressure is in my eyes are even higher than they were. He also said that the cataracts were getting worse and that I had the worst kind of glaucoma. Now, look what she has said. I've read half of this paragraph, and it's all about what the doctors are saying to
right,
be true.
Right. The majority of it is on the side of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no conviction to grace here.
Right.
She said, I'm expecting. I'm expecting. You know, you have it. You know, that's like me telling you that you expect to go home and find a bathtub, a shower, a sink, and a toilet in your bathroom. Why would you expect it? You know they're there. Unless there's been a tornado or an earthquake or somebody is stealing used toilets in your area, what is there to expect?
Right.
It's like walking into your bedroom expecting your bed to be there. This is the frame of mind
right,
that keeps people from grace. She goes on. Did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that you know, what's sad is, on one hand, of course, we all have to own up to our own decisions that we make. But what's sad about it is this mentality that she's actually portraying in this email has literally been practiced in front of her for years and years and years by people that are in pulpits.
Right.
She's a duplicate of... that's really why this show is going on like it is.
It goes back so far that it's unreal, because this was a problem when Jesus was walking around with his buddies.
Sure.
You know, when Jesus was walking around from little town, burg, you know, village, mm-hmm. with his four stenographers, John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Thanks. They ran across this.
Right.
Paul writes letters about this.
Right.
I mean, if you read the writings of Paul, they're literally just a fancy, polite, I told you so. And they're like little post-its, reminders. You know God exists.
Yes.
You've seen prayers answered. You've seen people healed. Why are you not practicing it?
Right. Right, exactly. Well, this again, and I'll just go ahead and reiterate some of those thoughts. This is the reason why this show is important to me, because I had to come to myself. I've prayed in all these years for many, many thousands of people, and I've seen great and wonderful things take place, and I've had few and far between answers for myself, with myself, my body, my own family. We've had some good things. We've had some answers, but just not consistent and not regular, to the point where I wouldn't really have the same confidence that I do in ministering to others when it comes to actually praying for myself. And this is part of my prayer 2 years ago. And the reason why we're actually on this show today is to help people, even as prayers have become easier for me to see answered in my own life, we want them to become more prolific and easier to be answered in your own life.
Yeah, we just got a text message that said that they lost audio, but I'm hearing it on my monitor. And
okay.
and we got a couple text messages here. One I don't understand. I wonder if it's the lady that sent the butter crunch, because it says, I'm still here, still listening. I emailed a month or so ago. I've been listening to some portion of the broadcast nearly every day. Thank you. If that's the lady that sent the butter crunch, she needs to send another text that says, yes, butter crunch. Then we got another question here, another text message. It says, how about a couple scriptures on grace is immediate? Do you have any?
Grace is immediate? Were you talking about what, immediate response or immediate healing type of thing?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Let me show while you
you're
how this.
While you're looking that up, we've got text messages going on here. And the way you text messages show is the first word is Jim BJ, J-I-M-B-J. And then you send that to just a five-digit number. No area code, no one in front of it. The number that you send that to is 69302. And also remember, we have emails. Just got an email here that said it came in about 2 minutes ago. It says, hi Jim, hi BJ. My wife and I love to listen to your show. It is really helping destroy the things we thought we knew and reprogramming us with truth. I have known there was so much more for us to walk in, but religion had just screwed us up. I love the way you teach and look forward to hearing more and walking in it. Keep up the good work. This is from Bill and Julianne in Mariposa, California.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and she said it's a home of Yosemite.
Excellent.
You know, I had a job offer in Yosemite.
Okay.
Back in the early 80s, the National Park Service contacted me because I had done some work on the horses and mules that live in the park. They had a barn in the stables there.
Yeah.
They used to rent horses, but they were also for the rangers to ride.
What did they want you to do?
They wanted me to take over the horse and mule operation. It was a year-round job.
Huh.
I would have actually lived in what's called Yosemite Valley, and I would have been in charge of anything to do with the horses and mules, feeding, taking care of them, training them, buying and selling them. People could go on horseback rides, you know, guided by a ranger.
Sure.
And stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, they wanted me to be the big cheese, but And you know why I said no? Because I would have had to live in a trailer.
Hmm.
If it would have been a real house instead of something on wheels, I would have taken the job. And I told him, I said, I don't want to live in a trailer, especially in the middle of winter. Hmm. Because they said I would have been one of the few people that actually would have been living in Yosemite in the national park in the off season, you know, when it's closed
because
of snow and stuff. And I said, I just don't want to live in a trailer. I don't like living in trailers. I want to live in a real house. And they said that they didn't have one. And I said, oh, well. And yeah. Hmm. But in that, a nice cool. email from, I just brought that up because I saw Yosemite.
Hey, I've got an answer there for the. Text for the, question.
Yeah, it says, how about a couple scriptures on grace is immediate? That was okay. A question. Good question.
It is good. Here's what we're going to do. Just follow me in this, and you'll see exactly how we use the word grace and how it's intertwined in everything that Jesus did. It says over here in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice what the glory was. The glory of God was full of grace and truth. So basically what you're saying there, when you look at the ministry of Jesus and everything He did with the glory or the anointing, it was all full of grace and truth. So everything Jesus did was by the grace of God. You go a little bit further. And it says right here in verse 16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace heaped upon grace. So notice what the fullness was in Jesus. The fullness in Jesus was God's grace. Just like Paul says in every single epistle, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. In other words, the fullness of God's grace. And so what is that talking about? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the glory of God. It's describing the anointing. So everywhere Jesus went, when you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, or Luke in chapter 4, where Jesus stood up and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. All of that anointing, the grace, the glory, or excuse me, the glory or the anointing, it's all the grace of God. It's the influence and the ability of God, unmerited favor. It is God working through Jesus. So if you want to see the instantaneous of grace, which is the fullness of glory or the anointing, all you have to do is follow the ministry of Jesus and see that everywhere He went when He healed, things were instantaneous. Here's an interesting story. I was just at a basketball game before this weekend on Friday. It happened to be the day when one of my daughters was in one of the homecoming court there, and I had to walk her, you know, down during the assembly, down the aisle, and all. She was so beautiful and in a beautiful gown, and she looked awesome. And by all means, she should have won the whole thing. But anyhow, that doesn't matter. She looked great, but at nighttime, I had to, there's a little bias there. At nighttime, we had to go to the game because she also was in at the halftime. She walked out. We took some pictures with her. So in front of me, while we're sitting there before the game starts, we're sitting, we sat down, and this lady stands up. I mean, she stood up right like in front of me. I can't see at all. Aaron couldn't see at all. So we moved sideways, and we still couldn't see. Because she kept standing. I mean, for about 5 minutes.
Well, was she like a really like large woman?
Well, she was.
You're saying two people sitting next to each other can't. You're describing her like she's like a billboard or something.
It seemed like a billboard. Now she wasn't that wide, but again, remember, someone standing that close to you, you got to look around them if you're going to see the court. Okay, so she sat down. I thought, well, good. And then she stood back up again for about another 5 minutes. So, of course, my flesh is thinking, okay, is this lady going to do this for the whole entire game? What's up? So when she sat down that second time, I saw her put her hand on her back. And then I knew right away, you know, she's hurting in her body. That's why she stood. So I leaned over to her and I said, are you hurting in your back? She said, yes, I have bulging discs in my lower back. And she said, I can't sit at all. She said, the pain is too excruciating. And I said, well, I bet you $100. I got one on my in my pocket. I said, I bet you $100 that if you let me pray for you, you'll be able to sit the whole entire game. Of course, my motive was I wanted her to sit out. No, not really. I wanted her to be helped. I said that so that you could comment. Anyhow.
See, folks, you think I don't have, you know, a cross to bear? My cross's name is Jim Huckaday.
Okay, so anyhow, I told her, I said, I bet you $100 that your back is going to be perfect and you can sit through the whole game.
Right.
And she said, well, I don't bet. I said, well, that was just my means of stirring you up. I said, what I'm saying is, I know God will touch you and heal you right now. And she said, well, you going to pray? I said, well, in a sense, I already did. I said, so just enjoy the game. Well, she did enjoy the game, and she sat there the whole time. And so when the game was over, I said, how did you like that? She said, well, I'm feeling really good. I said, well, that's great. She goes, well, you know, my healing is attached to Mark chapter 8. And I said,
which says what?
Well, it's the story of Jesus laying hands on a blind man, and Jesus says to him, how do you see? And the blind man says, well, I see men walking like trees. And Jesus said, and Jesus laid hands on him a second time. And Jesus said, how do you see now? And the man said, I see perfectly. And I told her, I said, you're talking about the story with the blind man. She said, that's right. Jesus had to pray for him twice. She said, my healing started 4 years ago. I was in bed. I couldn't even be like I am now. And I know in God's good timing, he's going to finish this healing.
See, this is how I interpret this story. We just got to, the last name is Huckaday, not Huckaday. And then what does two dots and a P mean? What's that mean?
Maybe someone's sticking out their tongue.
Really?
Yeah, like this, I think. Or maybe laughter.
I don't know. It says last name is Huckaday, not Huckaday.
It might be laughter. Someone's
really?
Laughing.
You're talking into a $500 microphone with M&Ms in your mouth. As far as I'm concerned, that's a Huckaday move. So anyways, this is how I interpret your story.
Okay,
this poor defenseless woman.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, this is how I interpret it. I'm just going on what you said. Here's this poor defenseless woman who you think looks like a man and is as large as a tree because she's blocking your view. Then you make her feel bad because you have a $100 bill and she doesn't. That's how I interpret this story. This is what you just said. And then finally she sits down, and at the end of the event, you remind her that she has looked like a man, is big as a tree, doesn't have $100, and has been hurting for 4 years. That's how I interpret your story.
Okay, well, that's a fine interpretation, but the end of the story is she's actually doing great. God's touching her. She's sitting through a basketball game that she couldn't sit through before. So I think the point of the story that I was trying to relate here is very simple, that people want things to be a long, drawn-out process. They're afraid of having grace work for them immediately, and it goes to the text message that was sent. Can you show me some stories, or can you show me some scriptures about grace being instantly? And it's all over the scriptures that really relates to the fact that grace is available for us right now.
On a serious note, I think it's sad that this woman literally had the belief and the thought, as believed it as much as water's wet and the ground is dry, that kind of belief, for 4 years, that this was acceptable to God.
Right.
And that this was okay to endure this. You know, it breaks my heart, and I always get so melancholy when people say, like, I've been healed, I'm waiting for the manifestation.
Right.
God has heard my prayer, and I'm just waiting for the answer, the miraculous healing. because that's the essence of Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nowhere in any of those books, no matter what they're called, you know, the New King James Version, I guess that means there's an Old King James Version, and the Message Bible, and
right.
What's the other one that you like to use besides those two?
Well, those are the main ones, but the Amplified is also
the,
really
the Amplified,
good.
Whatever the name of these books are, there is nowhere in there does it say, sit down, shut up, take a number, I'll get to you. Ask and you shall receive.
Actually, on the contrary, it says that God is waiting patiently on us.
And even in that scripture that you didn't finish reading because you went off on one of your weird little tangents, he talks about how grace is waiting to fulfill anything that you need and more. And I don't get it. I don't understand how someone can know the Bible frontwards and backwards and can quote scripture all day long, and how, where is the misinterpretation on how you're not supposed to talk to God, see God, be with God, you're not supposed to enjoy grace every day, and that your prayers aren't supposed to be instantly answered? How does that occur?
Right.
What happened?
Well, I'll share with you something that is a means of spinning something or manipulating scripture. In fact, you probably haven't heard this, so let me go ahead and give it to you, and then just see with your ability to... especially not having been churched, see how you think about
it. Well, I know
this.
One thing. I've never compared a woman to a tree.
I didn't either. I just said she was in the way. And I'd even say how large. You could have had a small person standing up, and they would be in the way of your vision of the court.
That's like that poor woman that works with your wife. How you know.
Penny.
Penny Ruby.
Well, I called her Ruby. But her name's Penny. In fact, Aaron,
at
the game Friday, Aaron said, "Oh, come here, Jim. I want you to meet Ruby." It was Penny. So I got a chance to meet her, and she was totally cool with it. She was fine. Okay?
69302 is a 5-digit number that you send instant text messages to. And I want to ask you a question. You're going to read something, right?
Correct.
Okay, while you're reading this, I want people to think about answering this question. What is in their way?
Very good.
Because what are you thinking? What are you creating in your own mind? What are you giving importance to in the world or your body? Because it's you. It's not Satan. It's not the devil. It's not negative energy. It's you. What is in your way?
Okay, let me read this scripture, and you got to be a part of this, BJ. I want to see what you have to say about it. Because this is where some of the wheels have come off, and the interpretation, along with people's testimony, is the reason why folks think the way that we're trying to help them not think. Okay, this is Jesus over in Mark chapter 16, and it is the Great Commission, all right? When he's commissioning the disciples to go into the world, preach the gospel, and then begin to minister to people. Notice what he says here. He says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink up any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Okay, the last phrase that I read, I'll read it again. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How do you interpret "they will recover"?
Like now.
Okay, well, there's your interpretation problem right there. Because people, maybe they recovered in 4 or 5 days or 2 or 3 weeks, and that was their experience, then they began to preach the message of recovery, which is, you just keep on thanking God and it's going to go away sooner or later.
But see, that mentality, now say again what you just said.
Well, from this scripture being manipulated,
right?
And people having experiences where they didn't receive something instantly.
Right.
It began to take place later. Then from that particular passage, the message has been preached, a recovery message, meaning you receive it right now by faith, and then you continue to say the right thing, to do the right thing, and it will leave at some particular time.
Okay. Think about this, folks. Okay? I want you to take a second. I want everybody to just take a moment and just go. I want you to take a big, deep breath. I want you to relax. And I want you to clear your mind. And then, Jim, I want you to say what you just said, not the whole thing, just the last part about how they tell you that...
The wrong interpretation.
The wrong interpretation.
Okay.
And that wrong interpretation is what?
The wrong interpretation is that when you get ministered to or when you pray, that you believe you receive your healing or your answer, and you wait on the manifestation. That's exactly
okay.
What has been preached.
Now, have a clear mind, everybody. Think about what that is. It's literally a bait and switch. This is why I call buildings buildings and structures structures, and why I say there aren't very many churches on the face of the planet. Think about it. You've been saved. You're a Christian. Your prayer has been answered, and now all you have to do is patiently wait and continue to pray, continue to worship God, and to continue to come back and to make sure that you keep doing this, and eventually you will have the manifestation. Because that doesn't serve you. That doesn't serve God. But do you know who that serves? The religious organization. It serves that building because they have just told you that you need to be a repeat customer. You need to come back on a regular basis. And you need to keep doing exactly what you're doing frequently. Because that doesn't serve you, that doesn't serve Christ, but that serves that religious organization and it serves that building. Because that is what the essence of a repeat customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it this way. The reason a store is successful, whether it's tires, furniture, Walmart, Kmart, whatever kind of mart, whatever grocery store, the reason they're successful is because they need you to come back. They want you to find what you need in the store and to buy it, and they want you to come back. That is good business. That is marketing. That is serving the needs of your customers, is to give them something so that they feel they've got their money's worth and that it was worth the time to invest, to participate, and to come back on a regular basis. Both parties are served. That does not describe a Christian. That does not describe the Bible. That does not describe the love of God. That describes a business. Whether you're worshiping God or you're buying slippers, it's a formula. There's a logic here. There's a mathematical formula at work, because everything about Scripture is go. The problem has been fixed. Now go. Don't come back. We've talked about that the nice German, what is he, minister, pastor?
Pastor.
Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred. Mm-hmm. In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Where his entire congregation, after listening to the radio show and looking at things from a new perspective, is he doesn't get to say anything anymore except, hello, welcome, that was wonderful, and who else wants to speak? He doesn't get to give sermons anymore, because when these people get together, all they're doing is testifying. They're all dying to say what grace is doing for them and what they've seen grace do. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what a church is supposed to be. If you think otherwise, if you're experiencing otherwise, then I'm going to ask you the question again. What do you think is in your way? And whose fault? Whose responsibility is it? Because unless someone's got a gun to your head and your hands are tied behind you, you're willingly participating. And just because your family's participated in it, just because your grandparents participated in it, just because everybody in your county or town is participating, that doesn't necessarily make it valid and something you should be doing. Because then you ask the second question, how's this been working for you? What is your testimony? Is your testimony one of enjoying grace and watching work grace daily? Or is the only testimony you have is that you're worshiping a book and God? Because that's not what he wants.
I'm going to go ahead and read a little passage here that is used many times to validate that something is not instant, but I want you to look at it real honestly and see that it actually was. It says here, then as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14 says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Notice what it says. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. And that's been used to help validate, see, it didn't happen instantly.
That's right.
As they went.
Yeah.
But obviously, it happened immediately because Jesus is still standing there.
This is the recipe how Scripture gets turned into doctrine and how believing in God turns into a religion. And how people lose the fact that they're a spirit being. Because by taking Scripture and by taking a spirit being and looking at it as a human being and looking at it as doctrine, then that justifies the I don't go anywhere, I don't accomplish anything, I'm not getting anything out of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that religion works. That's the only way that you can keep the lights on and the coffee and the donuts freely flowing in a building.
Right.
We got an email here that says, Dear Jim and BJ, it's kind of a depressing email. It says, Dear Jim and BJ, so you finally got the butter crunch. I'm so glad. Just wanted you to know that when you come out to New Jersey on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of March, I will have a fresh batch for you.
Oh, that's great.
And it says, enjoying the show. Sincerely, Diana from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I think this is a depressing email, and you think this is a great email. You want to know why? Because you're going to get fresh butter crunch.
You won't be there.
And I won't be there.
I know.
See, folks, you think I make this stuff up about Mr. Huckaday.
Do you think I'll bring any home?
Probably not. Oh, maybe to your family. I'll bet you a shiny new dime that everybody in your house, including your mom, gets fresh butter crunch. I'll bet you give some to your dogs, Mitch and Muffy. I'll bet that not one little bite makes it to the ranch.
You know what? That bet's not worth anything because it's only a dime. Go ahead and get something in it, and then you'll see.
See, I think if you were a decent Christian, you wouldn't even have wanted there to be a bet. You would have said, don't worry, you will get some.
And folks, this is the manipulation of how scriptures have been all through the ages. A conversation just like this. I think the points that we're making are really good tonight.
I hope so. I'm a little worried because we're not getting text messages and we're not getting a lot of emails. So I don't know if we're losing people or if they disagree or what the situation is.
Well, I want to finish the story at the basketball game, and I know that that's kind of opening up a can of worms again with some of our thoughts about it. But when the lady turned to me and she said, I know the Lord spoke to me that my healing is a Mark chapter 8 healing.
Right.
In other words, that in his good time, I know that he'll heal me. And I said to her, I said, how are you feeling right now? And she said, I'm feeling really, really good. And And I said, well, doesn't that seem to indicate that healing is in your body? She said, well, yes. I said, well, wouldn't that indicate that now is the time?
Right.
And she just looked stunned at me. And then I said this to her. I said, and ma'am, besides the point, do you realize that Mark chapter 8 occurred all within one conversation? It didn't take 4 years.
No.
And this is what she said. With a puzzled look on her face, she turned to me and said, will you just keep praying for me? And I looked at her and I said, for what? God has already done it.
We just got 2 text messages, and it says, I'd like to try the Butter Crunch. And it says, and they signed it. They signed it Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next text message says, my sweet husband will save me some. Well, that's obviously not your Aaron, because the only thing sweet about you are your fingers from packing your fat little cheeks with candy while I'm trying to do this radio show. So obviously this is not, you know, your wife. It's somebody else's wife named Aaron.
Well, because, she knows me. She knows I'll save some for her.
Yeah. You know what? I think this is the first time she's ever texted the show.
Maybe so. But good. I'm glad she did.
I thought she listened to the show with Penny Ruby at the pawn shop.
No, it's not a pawn shop.
I thought you said it was a pawn shop and
no.
They sell jewelry.
They make jewelry. It's called the Vintage Pearl. And they make jewelry.
That's a pretty fancy name for a pawn shop.
It's not a pawn shop. But anyhow, she does. She listens with Penny. And so she must be listening tonight, which is great. And hi, hon. And I'll be home probably in an hour or so. But I do have some candy for you.
Now, I want to see if we got any emails. Remember, folks, we love emails. We love text messages to see how you feel about this. If it's helping you figure out what's going on, what is wrong, what is right. And, you know, really, we've had one person in a year and a half who, like I've said, the greatest
right.
testimony of the show
right.
is when someone says, I don't have to listen anymore.
Right, exactly.
I'm there. I've got it. I'm
right.
with the guys. I'm talking
yes.
with the guys. And
yes.
we've had a lady that said she still listens, but she doesn't have to listen.
Well, while you're looking at that, let me go ahead and read another verse scripture here. And BJ, I know you'll be listening too, because I think this is a good comment scripture here. Over in 1 John in chapter 2, verse 27. In fact, I'll quote verse 20 first that says, but you have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. All right, I'm going to go a little further now, verse 27. And John is the same one that wrote the passage in John chapter 15. And this is what he said, but the anointing, or the glory, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, which you have received from him, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So our staying connected with him is our part. But notice it says right here that he's connected with us.
Yeah.
And that's the part I want everybody to see. God is connected to you, but you have to vitally be connected with him.
It's like I've always said that the book of Genesis is misunderstood. And it's really sad that it is, because there is so much to be learned from the book of Genesis. And if you were to put the book of Genesis into, if you were to paraphrase it or to put it in bullet points or like a, you know, just shorten
right.
it up shorthand.
Right.
The real testimony, the real message from God wouldn't even make it on there. Because everybody just talks about, you know, he made it in 6 days, and then, you know, he went fishing on the seventh day, took a break, went shopping, whatever, clean, you know, did some laundry, whatever, on the seventh day. And then they just talk about the tree and the apple. But what they really don't, what they miss is that the only time in Genesis that it's really elaborated and talked about in great detail about the relationship between man and Christ is when there isn't one. That's what's elaborated on. That's a warning. That's a red flag. It goes to when When you're golfing, when you're bowling, whether you're playing a board game or you're playing some type of a card game, or when you're doing something correctly, you just sit back and enjoy it. The only time that you really pick something apart or when you really point out details on things is when you're trying to learn how to do it correctly,
mm-hmm.
or when it isn't going right. Now, interestingly enough, people don't seem to correlate that to understanding Scripture, because in Genesis, it's all about the message is that it says, you know, Adam and Eve were walking with God. They were with Him 24 hours a day.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
It stops. That's the message. And then the whole rest of Genesis is nothing about the disconnect, about the punishment and how things go bad and how they pass that down to their children from one generation to another.
Right.
And people don't see that there's a very important message in Genesis. And it is that the only time that you really have to think about God, the only time you really have to look for grace, the only time that you really need to think about what you're doing and how you're living is when you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When you're quote-unquote distracted or disconnected.
Right. That was a great point. We talked about that, and you had mentioned those things before the show. Folks, I hope you got this. I really, really like this a lot, because there's so many ways that we could illustrate it. In fact, one of the great illustrations came, could have been even a year ago we made mention of this, and that was, you know, the road signs that you see on the road. Well, you don't see road signs and warning signs for good roads.
Yeah, it doesn't say, you never see a flashing yellow light that says, next 10 miles, perfect highway.
And the reason is because when you're on a good highway, I mean, everything in you goes, oh, feels so nice to drive on something where it's so smooth and your car's not beaten up and you don't have it bouncing all over the place. No, the warning signs come for what's bad, for what's wrong, for what needs to be avoided. So when you put together what BJ just mentioned, and you know, we were talking about it earlier, what a great thought. With Adam and Eve, you don't see all this elaboration about the time that they spent with God, except to know that they were with Him constantly and having great fellowship with Him. And the reason is, it's their own personal relationship with Him. But what you do see is you see when the wheels came off, you not only see about it, but you have clues to why it came off, and then you have constant discussion for the next 4,000 years of the whole Old Testament as to all the different things that happen when the wheels come off. In fact, if you look over even at Enoch when he walked with God for 300 years, that's all it says. He walked with God, he pleased God for 300 years, and then he was not, because God took him, or he just stepped over to the other side. If Enoch had come back, in other words, if he had gone against walking with God, or if he had disconnected from God, we would have had nothing but scripture after scripture showing you the disconnect, magnifying the disconnect, and telling you all about how bad his life was once he did disconnect. Because it's warning signs for individuals to not disconnect, to stay connected. So I really like this thought. The only time when you really have to put an emphasis on seeing, recognizing, and staying connected to the grace of God is when you don't have, like we made mention with the phone, all five bars up. Because that means, for some reason, there's some distractions, whether minor or whether major, distractions in your life that are keeping you from enjoying your personal relationship with God unhindered by the world.
Remember, folks, I want to say thanks to Ken and Lori Their check paid for 4 more weeks of text messaging here in the barn. So take advantage of it and say thanks to Ken and Lori by sending text messages to the show. Remember, the first word needs to be J-I-M-B-J, no caps, no space, just Jim B-J. And then it's just a 5-digit text number, no one, no area code, 69302. And remember, emails are always welcome with questions, comments, testimonies, whatever. And you send those to all one word, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Theabidingpresence@gmail.com for emails. And Jim BJ, followed by the number 69302 is the number you send it to, 69302. You know, Jim, before tonight's show, we were talking about the disconnect. And being disconnected from grace affects everybody completely differently. Okay. Some people, it affects them financially. Some people, it affects them physically. Some people, it affects them emotionally.
Yes.
It affects everybody spiritually, obviously. I want to go back to a second to give people, lay down, Ranger. I got a wet dog in here. Ranger, lay down. Go on. Go lay down. I want to go back and bring something up about air.
Okay.
I was talking to, a guy today on the phone, and I referred to air. And this is what I said. If someone was to ask you, how's your breathing? How many inhale and exhales of air have you done in the last 10 minutes? How has your breathing been the last hour? You'd look at me and say, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. And then they say, well, no. Have you been counting how many breaths you've taken, how many times you've inhaled and exhaled, and is it easy to breathe or hard to breathe? You would look at him and you'd say, this is stupid. What are you talking about? And the reason is that the only time that anybody ever thinks about their breathing,
right?
Because it's a natural...
Very good. I see where you're going.
It's a very natural reflex.
Right.
Reflex.
Right.
It's automatic. We're born to do it, and we're not supposed to think about it. The only time that somebody thinks about their breathing is if they're burning the barbecue, and there's a smoke, they're breathing in smoke from a grass fire. They don't like somebody who smokes a pipe or cigarettes or a cigar, and they're bothered by that smoke. They're in an elevator, and somebody passes gas. They smell a skunk on the side of the road, and they hold their breath as they drive by. They're taking cough syrups or medicines, and they plug their nose so it'll block the taste of it. They hold their breath to dunk their head underwater. The only time somebody really thinks about their breathing is when it isn't automatic.
Okay.
When it isn't, when it's not difficult, when it's easy, it's automatic, and you don't even think about it. They never think about their breathing then. The only time they think about it is when they bury themselves alive in an avalanche or they stick a plastic bag over their head. The only time that people think about breathing is when something's wrong. When there's a reason to consider breathing.
Right.
Grace is like that in their lives. The only time people look for grace is when something's wrong.
Yeah.
The only time they think about Christ is when they need something, that what they're currently doing isn't healthy, isn't good, or isn't working right. But what they don't realize, the difference between air and grace is that air isn't in a position to help you. Air won't dig you up if you're buried alive.
Right.
Air won't break open and take the plastic bag off your head if you're suffocating. And the choices you make to put rocks in your pockets and jump off a bridge and drown, to smoke and to fill your lungs with tar and nicotine, the individual choices that we make to block air. What they don't realize is the difference between air and grace does this. Grace won't motivate you to smoke. Grace will make sure that there's nobody in the elevator passing gas. Grace will make sure that you don't have the thought of putting rocks in your pockets to jump off a bridge and drown. Grace will make sure that you're not put in a position to be buried alive. Grace will make sure that you never think about breathing, because grace will provide you with the oxygen without any effort at all.
Yeah.
There won't be any smoke.
That's good.
You won't burn anything to breathe badly. That's the difference. Because if people took a second to consider this, it might help answer that question that I asked about an hour and 10 minutes ago.
I want to support.
What's in your way?
I want to support some of this with the scripture, because when you look at Jesus, and in fact, you look at how he walked and the things that he's talked about, we know that Jesus had an amazing connection. He had five bars up at all time. He had a wonderful connection with God. But here's the thing. You don't see Jesus really talking about his connection with God unless people were in opposition to him. They would ask him questions. They would say things like, when he raised up the man at the pool of Bethesda, they said, "Well, you did this on the Sabbath. How dare you do this?" And Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and I too am always working." And the Jews then got even that much more mad. The Pharisees did, and they said, "You know, you being a man, you know, it's blasphemy. You being a man, make yourself God." And Jesus responded, and he said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. And my Father will show me even greater works than these, that you may marvel." So notice, when Jesus talks about his connection, it's because he's in a position where people are questioning him. But my point is, the way that he walked and the way that he talked was just like you were saying. It was so natural. It was so normal.
See,
and he just did things that would make you look like it was as easy as can be.
Jesus was not invincible to the world. Jesus wasn't invincible to negative energy. He realized that he could choose and be disconnected.
Sure.
Just as much as the people are that are listening to the show today.
Right.
Some of the examples of that was Jesus knew what happened to Peter when they were walking on water, while Peter started to bob, while he started to sink, his socks
right.
were getting wet.
Right.
Because Peter said, "Wow, I'm walking on water. Nobody else does that, and I'm doing it." And all of a sudden, he was so wrapped up in what he was doing, he forgot to do it. It's like being so busy trying to keep your job, you don't do your job.
Yeah, good parallel.
I think people are so busy worshiping God, they don't get to enjoy God.
Right.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jesus was walking around for 40 days. Didn't even have a happy meal. No Subways, no
right.
nothing.
Right.
Didn't pack a lunch, no protein bars, no protein shakes, nothing. And he was fine. But then he told somebody that he'd been walking around for 40 days and, you know, hadn't had anything, not even a breakfast burrito. And the guy says, "Well, you got to be starving." Well, Jesus thought about it. "It's been 40 days, and I haven't had a breakfast burrito. Yeah, I should be starving." Then he said, "Well, wait
right.
a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa." See, there's testimonies in Scripture, folks, that shows how easy it is to be disconnected. There's a lot of testimonies, even from Jesus himself, that shows how easy it is to become distracted, to be "quote unquote," one click off. We got a text here, It says, I believe I limit God because I don't understand him. What do you think about prayer and fasting? And I want you to answer that, Jim, but I want to read a couple things to you. This one comes. Okay. It says, hey, Jim and BJ, great show. People are listening, but you're challenging their religion. That's why most are silent. Keep doing what you're doing. You're making an impact. And this comes from someone named Julie. And then this one I really like because this is an email for Ken and Lori.
Did this just come in?
Just came in.
Okay.
It says it came in 6 minutes ago.
Okay.
This is for Ken and Lori. It says, just checking in. Good show. Thanks, Ken and Lori. And then it says, this is from a guy in Detroit. See, this is what I like.
Yep.
I think right now I like this because Ken and Lori, who may have never been to Detroit, Michigan, and I'll bet you a Snickers bar that Ron probably hasn't been to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
Here's two people that don't know each other,
right,
never seen each other, don't know what each other looks like, but they have one common thing in common. They're enjoying the show. They're getting something from your show. And this guy in Detroit is thanking two people in Tulsa for 4 weeks of text messaging. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I don't. Did I make too much of that?
Because No, not at all.
I just think it's. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's a testimony. Hey, I'm going to answer that question that came in on the text about the prayer and fasting.
Do you want me to read that again?
Well, if you'd like to, maybe.
It just says, I believe I limit God because I don't understand him. That's what they're saying. I like that because, see, they're diagnosing themselves.
Uh-huh.
They're taking responsibility for their choices. That's what you need to do. Right. That's the humbling. That's the repenting of a Christian, changing direction. Because you don't know to change directions until what?
Right.
You realize you're going the wrong direction.
Correct.
It says, what do you think about prayer and fasting? We've never had that question on the show before.
Yeah, over in Mark 9, Jesus, in the midst of a situation, made the comment about prayer and fasting, and it's really, really good. He walked up upon a situation where the disciples were trying to cast out a devil of epilepsy that was in a little boy that would throw him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And, of course, the disciples at that particular point, they tried to cast the devil out. Mark chapter 9, could not. And it went on to say that the Father then said to Jesus, when Jesus came up on the scene, he said, your disciples tried to cast out the devil but could not. And Jesus, and he said, if you can help us, please do something. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Okay, well, people came running because Jesus was there. Jesus cast out the devil. And then he turned to his disciples and said, oh, you have little faith. The disciples then later on went to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said, because this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. So right here we have a tremendous support for the things that we're actually teaching, which is Jesus was saying, you don't pray the devil out, you don't fast him out. He was saying specifically that turning from the world, which is fasting, cutting yourself off from the world, turning your face toward God, which is prayer, is the way that you become extremely sensitive to answers and to the very face of God.
One of the most primal instincts that people have is hunger. And wars have been caught because people were hungry,
right,
and starving. So I interpret that to say that the reason you fast is to really take advantage of Scripture that says, why do you care, why do you worry about where you sleep or what you're going to eat? Because if I take care of the birds, the bees, and the trees, why wouldn't I take care of somebody in my own image? And so by turning your back on one of the most primal body, earthly, fleshly things, which
desires.
Desires of food and to not be hungry, and not to acknowledge your stomach growling or that you have a headache or that you're dizzy or that your blood sugar is low because you haven't had an apple, by setting all those things aside and focusing on your relationship with God, you are thinking like a spirit being.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes back to the absolute of nothing matters and I don't care. Because if you don't care that you haven't eaten, if you don't acknowledge that your stomach should be growling and it's not, you're not living as a human being, you're living as a spirit being.
Right, right.
And grace comes in and says, thank you very much, it's about time.
Right.
I've been sitting around here waiting. You're 44 years old. I've been waiting for 44 years to come into the game, to make myself present for you.
Right.
Because I've been here since go.
Yeah, it goes back to Paul many times making the comments about that which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the spirit is spirit. Walk in the spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, all of that can be looked at even in the whole prayer and fasting department. Turning your back on your flesh, on your back on the world, pointing yourself in direction to hear from God is a prescription. It's like a doctor writing you a prescription. For what? For being connected with the Spirit, your Spirit and the Holy Spirit. And so bringing that up in this text and saying, I'm not really getting it, I don't really understand, this is a wonderful way for you to begin to become sensitive to your relationship with God, to build a connection.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's, you know, a lot of Paul's writing is him just sitting back and looking at people that he knows and literally saying, what's wrong with this picture? What It's almost like one of those things. Can you find, like, there's a picture of a living room, and you'll see them in newspapers and magazines, and you'll even see them on the internet once in a while, and it says, can you find the cat in this drawing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you find the,
right.
You know, can you find the hidden cat in this photo kind of thing? I think Paul was motivated because he saw that. He would sit back and he would hear about people and he would look at what they were doing and how they had all gone their separate ways. And he would literally say, where's the cat in this photo? What's wrong with this picture? And then he would write about it. And his motivation was grace, because he was so well connected with grace that one of the greatest things that I've noticed about grace in my life isn't what grace does for me. It isn't the good things that I see the love of God do. What I really think that is cool about grace in my life is grace shows me all the things that are ridiculous. Grace shows me, and it's actually the opposite. Grace doesn't really spend a lot of time showing me what I should love and what I should care about.
Right, right.
Grace spends an unusual amount of time showing me what not to love, what not to care about, and why it really doesn't matter. Because that's the protection of a parent.
Well, sure, and think about it. If grace is helping to protect you from the things that would disconnect you, then what are you? Connected. And if you're connected, you're enjoying God himself.
Yeah, it's like I say, the closer I become to God, the less I pray.
Right.
Because I really can't think of anything to pray about, because most things don't matter. They're of the flesh, they're of the world, they're a distraction.
Listen to this verse here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Before he talks about your righteousness and the godliness, he talks about what? Denying the world. So grace is all about saying, that's not good, that's not good, that's not good, that's not good, that's ridiculous, that's drama, don't participate with that. For what purpose? Because the opposite is what? To have a connection with God.
While I was talking to you on, well, you didn't know this, but you know, when we were talking on the phone this afternoon, I was in the parking lot of the grocery store, you know, the store I like to go to.
Right.
And I've learned so much about God at that grocery store, you know, and, you know, the stories that we talk about and I share with you. But anyways, I'm in that parking lot and it's raining. And it's getting colder. You can see people's breath, and everybody's bundled up and running for the door. And there's this shopping cart in front of my truck. And I finally get done, you know, talking to you, and locking up the door, telling Ranger to lay down. I'll be right out. And this lady is come walking up, and I take this cart, and I says, "Here, would you like this shopping cart? If you hold on to the shopping cart, you don't have to worry about it being slippery." Because I could tell she was in these high-heeled boots, and she was dressed mm-hmm. really nice, and I could tell she was worried about, you know, slipping on the mm-hmm. on the wet pavement. And I said, here's a shopping cart for you. And she stopped, and she looked, and she says, "Well, it's wet." And I says, "Well, I've been sitting in this parking lot for a half hour, and this shopping cart's been in the cold weather, and it's been rained on." I said, "You know, it's been out here so long that if there was any cooties on it or any germs, they're gone. This thing has been outside in the cold weather and the rain now for at least a half hour, so this is a pretty clean, germ-free shopping cart."
Right.
And she gave me the dog look. You know how people kind of turn their heads? And she said, "I didn't think about it that way." And I says, "Oh, yeah." I says, "This cart's probably pretty safe. You don't have to worry about anything."
Right.
And she says, "Well, you know," she says, "that's a pretty interesting way to look at things." And I said, and you know me, because I just can't leave well enough alone.
Right.
You know, I said, "You know, it's even a more interesting thing to look at it." She goes, "What?" And I says, "Well, you know, do you believe in God?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, we go to such and such a place every Sunday," which is like one of the most giant buildings in town, you know, mm-hmm. worthless. And I said, "You know," I said, "if you believe in God, why would you even be concerned if somebody just sneezed on it?" And she got really quiet. She looked at me and she goes, "That is very clever and sneaky." And I says, "Well, if you got a relationship with God and grace is watching out for you, who cares if this cart is germ-free or not? Because germs really don't matter to a spirit being."
What'd she say?
She insulted me. She asked me if I was a minister. And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, are you a Christian?" And, well, you know, I just can't, you know. I said, "Oh, I can't stand Christians." And she just got this really look on me. And she grabbed the cart and she walked away. And, you know, Ranger's looking at me, you know, sitting there saying, "You know, you could have just kept your mouth shut." You know, you didn't, you know. But, see, it's these. This is what people go through on a daily basis, Jim.
Right.
You know, it's not the lump in the breast. It's not the swollen shoulder.
Right.
It's not the carpal tunnel or the arthritis in the hands. It's the worldly attitude that for some reason or another over 2,000 years since Jesus has been gone, that civilization, mankind, on a wholesale level, globally,
right, it's become acceptable.
It's become acceptable to have no connection.
Correct.
Not to expect a connection, not to experience any instantaneous relationship with Christ, let alone see grace like you see a tree or a mailbox.
Right. I'll make a comment here, folks. Now, do you see the love of God, that God has given us multiple ways of experiencing Him? For instance, think about that woman at the basketball game again. She wanted her healing to be drawn out because she didn't want to take any responsibility to believe anything. And even after she was well, she was feeling good, she still wanted me to continue to pray, and she still wanted to actually not be completely well. This is really, really interesting. But what I'm sharing with you is how important it is to see that what we're sharing is for you to have a personal relationship, for your own prayers to begin to work, and work so regularly you don't even have to pray anymore because there's not much wrong. God has given us many opportunities. For instance, like that woman at the ball game, it certainly wasn't what she was believing. I was helping her. A prayer, a laying on of hands. These type of things are ministry to other people. And sure enough, we've seen some people get healed this way. But what we want to help you to do in this program is all about you and your own Ranger theory or your own personal relationship with God.
Right.
And there's nothing more satisfying than when you know you have a connection.
Yeah, if you don't know what the Ranger Theory is, just go to Jim's website, theabidingpresence.com, and you'll see theories. And just scroll down and read the Ranger Theory.
Right.
Just got a... Oh, by the way, Aaron just sent another text message. Oh,
okay.
And it says, BJ, you're right. He did accuse the woman of being a man and being as big as a tree.
Oh!
Yeah, Aaron just sent that email, text message. Okay, we got some interesting emails here. I really like this
just
email
how people,
here.
Selective hearing. I can't get it.
Hey.
I mean, people just hear the way they want to hear.
This is an email that came in about 6 minutes ago. It says, it's me again, still listening in Kentucky. I haven't emailed for a while. I just tried to text and got all kinds of return stuff. Then I lost my connection. So I don't know if you got it and read it or not. No, we didn't. But it says, so I'll email to let you know I'm listening. And then the question is Marina, Pajama Girl in London, is she listening? Yes.
Yes, she is.
Yep, Pajama Girl's out there listening. You know who we haven't heard from? Kitchen Counter Couple.
That's right, Minnesota.
We haven't heard from Minnesota. We haven't heard from Alabama. We haven't heard from a lot of people tonight. The Kitchen Counter Couple hasn't called. Pajama Girl, she's listening. And then I just like that because, see, now the listeners are starting to connect with each other. See, now that's fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That's fellowship. Then we got one here. It says, I love the absolute truth about seeing results. Grace is out of, let's see. I love the absolute truth about seeing results. Grace is out of all proportion, even compared to air. That's why there can't really be anything wrong with us. Stop breathing smoke. Since I started looking at it this way, seeing results is as easy as stealing candy from BJ.
Well, you know what?
That's
I'd
what
like
it says.
To see you steal candy from BJ.
It says, isn't that right, Brother Jim? Question mark. Love the show tonight. And this is from Steve Morgan, listening in Florida.
Yeah, well, Steve, you know what?
Have I met him?
Yes, yes. He's been out here before. You talked with him at my house. But
oh, that's Steve Morgan?
Yeah, Steve. But Steve, listen.
I thought he was a nice guy.
I'd like to see you steal candy from BJ, okay? So you might have to give us a little different analogy.
That you know, your wife Erin is listening. I wonder if Penny Ruby's listening. PR.
I don't know.
Penny Ruby.
I don't know.
Penny Ruby and Erin, manager and assistant manager at what's it called?
No, they're not managers. They're assistant managers. They just work there at the Vintage Pearl.
The Vintage Pearl. I think that's a pretty fancy name for a pawn shop.
Yeah, it's a nice jewelry place. They make all kinds of nice things.
You know, I wonder what would happen if I ever walked in that store. Do they have, like, armed guards or security or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Carpeting?
No.
They don't have carpet in there?
I think it's like a tile floor.
So, like, if my boots were dirty with horse manure or mud or something?
I don't think it would worry.
Wouldn't be an issue?
No, wouldn't be an issue.
Okay. I got kicked out of a store one time because they said I tracked mud on their carpet.
Hmm. Guess that's an issue.
Apparently it was with them.
Yeah.
I said, well, if your prices were lower, you would sell more merchandise and you guys could afford a vacuum. That got me dirty looks.
Hmm.
You know, Jim, I have a question for you about tonight, and
okay.
It's about some of the things that you've read. I want you to go back and I want you to read the one that you read at the beginning of the show that talks about being disconnected from me and you're cast out and you'll burn as driftwood, and then it goes on to talk about how your prayers or you know what your
right.
You know what I'm talking
yep,
about?
I've got it.
'Cause was that in
John chapter 15?
John chapter 15.
The Message Bible.
In the Message Bible. Okay, mm-hmm. John chapter 15, Message Bible. Ready, set, go.
I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you are mature as my disciples.
I like that. We got a. I just happened to check the spam folder on our email. I don't know why, you know, but every once in a while I check it. And it says, Dear Jim and BJ, to answer, this came in 14 minutes ago. So okay. It says, Dear Jim and BJ, to answer what is it that gets in the way to having prayers answered, at least in my personal life, it is that I have gotten gun shy. I will get excited about the message of doing the works of Jesus and seeing people healed by grace and have stepped out to pray for someone and then not see an immediate answer. So you back off. But at the same time, you know what you should be doing. So in your mind, you begin to think that there is some kind of hurdle that you need to get over to see grace flow. How do you develop such conviction? And then this is signed, Thanks, David. Oh, by the way, we just got an instant text message. It says, Mr. Kitchen Counter here.
Very good, Minnesota.
Yep, Mrs. Kitchen Counter, not home tonight. Great show.
Real good. Well, we can always count on them.
Yeah, Kitchen Counter couple. So one of them's there, one of them isn't. I think it's neat that he calls himself Mr. Kitchen.
I do, too.
And also, the shows are archived, so, you know, nobody's really going to miss out. I think on this email, mm-hmm. what's your thoughts on this from
well,
this email?
Well, really and truly, this goes back to, and I know what you're saying. I've had instances when I've been with people, and there's been situations that haven't been what I would have liked them to be. This goes back again to your connection. I can't say it any better way than that. What we've been talking about tonight is perfect as a complete show for your answer, because the more connected you are, that not only the more that you're going to be effective in your prayer, but definitely the easier it will be for you to identify if there's a problem when you're praying for someone.
Yeah.
And especially if you get them talking, you'll have a better answer. There's one thing, folks, I don't have any problem on the show admitting to any failure or admitting to desiring to grow further and go further. One of the things that actually I loved about when BJ and I have been talking that I really appreciate about his ability to see, but it comes from even his whole background of just seeing things so accurate and having lived that way without spinning his own personal life. Anyhow, is I love listening to the way he answers people, because for so many years in the religious circles, you learn when you don't know an answer to just spin around in circles.
Yeah.
You say a lot, but you don't say anything.
Yeah.
And I've always coveted and said, Lord, I've got to get better at being accurate. And when you're connected, accuracy is something that comes with it.
But see, it isn't just religious circles that have this problem. It happens in my world, in the world of horses. I mean, there are guys that travel the country and the world selling DVDs and movies and books and halters and lead ropes with their names on them, and they
right.
put horse clinics on. And they lose their edge because it becomes about selling products and giving people just enough information about how to work with their horse so that they buy more DVDs and books. And one of the greatest things, and if somebody...
Are you saying instead of getting to the point and being
yeah.
specific?
Yeah, and some people may not know this, but there's actually a radio show about horses that's three times older than this show.
Right.
That is actually the thing that propelled your show.
Well, tell them where it is.
Well, it's about horses. It's not about, you know, but there's a show that I've been doing for 14 years, oh. and it's in 97 countries and has 4 million listeners, and it holds the record for the longest-running, most successful live radio show about horse information. It's called The World of Horses.
Yeah, and I've wonderful.
Been, yeah, well, thank you. I do it every Sunday night for 2 hours. But anyways, the point I was getting at is one of the things that I've always been praised for from feed companies, drug companies, and from horse breed associations, and more importantly from the people listening to the show is if I had a dollar for every time I said, I don't know, when someone emails or calls into the show or I'm at a horse clinic somewhere and I'm speaking in front of a group or whatever, if I had a dollar for every time I said, I don't know, I could pay for all this equipment in this room in a heartbeat. And it's never hurt me. And I've never understood, because it isn't just spiritual or religion. It's not about Christ or grace. It isn't even about horses. But for some reason or another, people seem to have a problem with admitting that they don't know.
Right.
They just assumed that if someone asks them a question, or if someone says they know how to do something, they don't want to feel left out. They don't want to feel discounted. They don't want to feel stupid or ridiculous or miss the boat. So they just fake it. And they're not willing to say, I don't know. And unfortunately, this is a cultural habit. This isn't an insult or being disrespectful to anybody listening to your show. This is just a fact of people of all ages in any country.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be some internal motivator that makes people want to not admit that they're wrong or they don't know.
Right.
Well, not admitting that you don't know and not admitting that you're wrong, that is a major roadblock to repenting.
Yeah, sure it is.
Because repenting means change direction.
Yes, it does.
How can you change direction? How do you even know that you're going the wrong direction if all of your time is spent, what? Justifying the direction you're going.
Right.
And putting up with it.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
I think that we got a text. Oh, I don't even know if I should read this or not. I'm going to wait to read this text for a second. We got an email here. It says, yes, diplomacy is not spiritual. This comes from Marina, Pajama Girl in England sent that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got another one here that says, hi, Jim and BJ, something worries me. How can people prophesy, cast out demons, and do miracles and be evildoers who don't know Jesus at the same time? Isn't this the will of the Father? ? And this comes from Ashley in Georgia. You want me to read that again? Or do you got it?
I pretty much got it.
What's your answer to this?
You know, first of all, you could say it like this. If somebody really doesn't know the Lord Jesus in their heart, the Bible talks about lying signs and wonders. People will do things where they're yielded to negative energy. And so there's no doubt there's instances of that. We could look at other passages of Scripture, even with Simon the sorcerer over in Acts chapter 8. And he got delivered, and he was no longer able to do those kind of things that captured the attention of people. But as far as an individual, you could have an individual that actually ministers to people, and they see some great things happen, but they're still subject to their own individual choice and whether or not they have an individual relationship, and they can just the very next minute just crash and burn.
Yeah, I answer it this way. Once again, I'm going to refer to Genesis. If you look at the lives of Adam and Eve, they never asked for forgiveness. They never repented.
Mm-hmm.
They just literally knuckled under and said, okay, we've been severely spanked by God, and we're just screwed.
Yeah.
But then the fact that you look at them as quote-unquote which I don't use very often because I don't like it, but it kind of fits. If you look at Adam and Eve as quote-unquote sinners, wrongdoers, as being punished by God, well, the recipe there is Cain and Abel. You have one good, one bad.
Right.
You have positive and negative.
Right.
Which means that someone who is disconnected from Christ has the ability to show grace to someone who can take advantage of it. And at the same time, deny grace so someone cannot take advantage of it.
Okay.
And that's their two kids.
Right.
That's how I would answer that. I got to deal with this text message. I don't want to, but it's probably going to make you laugh. But I think this is a question. It says, when can we expect to see BJ hit the road with Jim? Well, that's
not for me to answer.
What do you mean it's not for you to answer? You are such a baby tonight. I can't. What? Okay. How many? Okay.
You don't want to go anywhere.
Well, why would I go anywhere?
Well, that's the whole idea.
No, but here's the thing. Okay, let's bring something up here for a second.
Okay.
Okay, you go on this television show once in a while.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? Was it the producer of the show or was it the host of the show that said, we need to get that cowboy on here?
Oh, yeah.
We need to get your co-host on here.
Yeah, that was...
Well, don't say their name.
Okay.
But
okay.
Was it the host or the producer?
No, it was not the host. It was one of the managers that works.
Makes the TV show go.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the production people.
Yeah.
And they said, we need to get the cowboy on here, your co-host.
Right.
And what was your instantaneous response?
I said, no, you really don't want him. And they said, no, I think we really need to contact him. I said, I don't think you could handle him. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, just trust me. You don't want them on the show.
And look at what has happened in, what do you call that room in your house? Is that's not your living room. What is that?
Family room?
No, the room where you've had me meet people and we've talked.
Oh, living room.
That's your living room?
Yeah.
Pretty formal.
Yeah, okay. Living rooms can be formal.
Okay, well, look what's happened in the living room.
Yeah, some great conversations.
Yeah, but look how some of it's been received.
Yeah, hadn't been received too well.
No, it hasn't.
Well, do you know why? It's because the whole show is about supernatural. And if you were on that show, the first thing you'd be going for
is the name of the show.
Would be the whole name of the show.
Yeah, I'd say, how can you name a show Supernatural? What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, you're talking about 6-foot invisible bunnies because you're sure not talking about God.
See? you didn't help to answer this question.
Why did that help to answer? Because of when I think of somebody that's sitting in a suit and a tie, he's probably in a suit and a tie, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to show up in a pair of Wranglers and boots.
Mm-hmm. Which would be okay.
I mean, they'd be, you know, I'd probably even go to the expense of going to the dry cleaner and having them, you know, starched and creased better than what I do with my iron on the kitchen table. But I'd show up in a nice clean pair of starched, creased Wranglers. I might even stop at the truck stop and hose off my boots, you know, and you know, shake,
right.
hold my hat out the door of the truck.
Right.
As I'm driving, so, you know, blow the dust off of it. If I showed up in there and he said, welcome to the supernatural, I'd say, what is supernatural? Because if you're talking about God, you're wrong. But if you're talking about a, you know, 6-foot invisible bunny, now that would be something that would be supernatural that I'd like to see manifest.
Correct.
And you're saying the wheels come off the wagon.
It already came off. That's why I said to her what I said. So it wasn't being mean. It wasn't withholding who you are
I just think it is, I don't know what the word is, sad, wrong, pathetic, melancholy, disgusting, disastrous. I don't know what word to title it, but every time I see an email or a text message and someone says they're waiting for a manifestation or the miracle or the supernatural, I think, because what do... okay, let's do this real quick. We've done this before. Miracle, miraculous, supernatural, unusual,
right.
Special, different. manifestation. What do all these things say? What do they all mean by dictionary definition? Something out of the ordinary.
Right.
Something that's unusual.
Right.
Something unexpected.
That not everybody experiences.
That's right. That it's exclusionary.
Very much so.
That sounds like a winning lottery ticket.
Right.
That is the mentality that keeps people praying and their prayers are never answered. That's what keeps people from seeing grace, is that those words, that mentality, that reality is built and twisted and spun into 2,000 years of what people call the real world.
Yeah, it's sad.
Because if you even hold on to that for a frog's hair.
Right. Yeah, that's how simple the thought process would be to be disconnected.
Because we've talked about it, how first you have feelings.
Yes.
The feelings lead to a thought. The thought leads to an action.
Right.
And then the action leads to a reaction. That's the recipe of why people's prayers aren't answered.
Yeah.
You want to do something by music?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for listening tonight. I trust that in your heart, you'll be able to do just a quick assessment and see whether or not your heart is really connected with God. Are you experiencing His best? Are you experiencing His voice? Do you recognize His presence? Is it easy for you to pray a prayer? And have you even gotten to the place where you realize, I don't need to pray very much as far as prayers are concerned for myself, because everything is done? Well, I pray for you tonight that God would continue to open up your heart and your mind, that you would see things as they really are, that truly grace has provided everything for us, and God is working everywhere, and He is everywhere by grace, for you to enjoy a wonderful life, free from pains and sorrows, free from drama and the world and the confusion that's there. So I pray for your minds to be at peace. I pray that your bodies would experience this wonderful eternal life, be free from all pains and sickness and disease, because the truth of the matter is, we are free. In Jesus' wonderful name, you be blessed tonight and forever. Amen.
I thought that was great. How'd you feel about the show tonight?
Well, again, I feel like we're heading down a really wonderful path, and I feel like the last four shows, and I keep going back to it, about the fourth show ago, I think we started becoming more and more accurate. I think people are really, really enjoying it. The comments that I'm getting, these shows are the best that they've had.
Well, you know, this show is about 17 minutes longer than usual, but I don't think it was wasted. I hope the people didn't.
I think it went fast, don't you?
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. Remember that the show broadcasts 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it will be uploaded in about 20 minutes. You do not have to wait for this week's show of the week of the 13th of February, 2013, to be on the archives page. All you have to do is go to the website and click on Listen Live, and you can hear this week's show. That's how it streams until next week's live show. Take care of yourselves and your pets. Ranger, where are you? Come here and say hi to... Oh, save support. All right, well, she wants to eat. Folks, Jim and I are going to be out of here. Take care of yourselves and each other, and remember, take good care of your pets.
Bless you.
Good night. Bye.